I don't feel as though I'm asking too much in this motion. I'm just asking that, you know, it be respected that this property is really wet. Everybody in the subdivision knows that. Planning staff knows this for years. There's evidence of conversations being made about this property and that kind of thing. I guess my question is to staff, knowing that this property is this kind of, you know, this wet and you know, having a river go through it, there's floodplains and that kind of thing, would this not have been something that should have been looked into just automatically? I mean, I understand that we're looking at it now and that makes it a little bit more controversial, but I guess the people are asking that this just happens. It may not, you know, help the situation, but it's I feel it's something that we can go ahead and proceed with. Is this something that a CBRF would be able to go over? I mean, if we find that, you know, the soils and the navigability determinations are such that it really should be a 75-foot setback instead of a 50-foot setback, is that something that just, you know, gets dismissed by the programs coming in?
Mr. City Attorney.
My, I called staff. My understanding was there was no impact, that the proposed development area is located away from these natural resource features, wetland, etc., and that it was that simple fact. Their staff is not seeing any impacts. So that was their answer to me.
I guess, okay. Well, and that's respectable, but knowing that this is a situation that we should dot all the I's and cross all the T's is probably something that I feel that we could have looked into, should have looked into, just to make sure that everything was handled correctly.
Well, Mr. Dietl will respond.
It was looked into. There were previous wetland mapping done by previous consultants in the past. That information was available to us, and it's in the ballpark of this new information from the new consultant, from Matt Talbot. And a standard condition is that information, even though it's similar to some previous information by a previous consultant, same condition, to be verified by a consultant of our choosing. That's normal operating procedure. That's what we're doing here. There's nothing on the property, nothing on mapping that would indicate floodplain or navigable stream.
Have you driven past the property?
Folks, let's not do that. There's a motion on the floor which requires, by Robert's Rules of Order, local ordinance, et cetera, that we complete the motion that's on the floor before we get to the questions and statements from you folks. We got to deal with what's in front of us. So just so you understand, I'm not ignoring you. Alderwoman Mayor, if I can boil down or try to boil down what the city attorney said, I don't think there's an issue with the first half of your motion. It's the direction of staff to stop work is a potential legal hack.
Well, how long, Joel, would getting an answer from the DNR take on something like this? I mean, this has been months in the making, I'm sure.
Unknown. It's not a large property, so that will help. It's a sensitive issue. That will help. But I just saw an email a couple weeks ago talking about staffing levels being further reduced. They're not going to be able to do as much field work as they used to do. So, again, unknown. I'm sure they'll get out there. They'll try to get out there quickly, but I don't know when.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, if this was a developer instead of citizens coming forward, they'd be sitting up at the table being able to input as we're making this motion. So, I think that if they have something relevant to us voting on the motion, maybe they should be allowed to be heard before we make the final vote. But I just want to make a couple comments. Actually, I have several of them, and I hope you can just all bear with me. I know people don't like it when I talk. Sometimes I go on a little bit too much. But I just want to note one thing that was in the letter that the council didn't know this was a CBRF. I have the four pages, or the three very slim pages from the council packet when the item came before us for the water extension. It did mention it was a CBRF, so we did know that. But we did not know to the extent what the facility is. There was nothing about what type of facility. There was no additional information that was given to us with the plan commission packet. And that stuff, I'm sure, was known in-house because they've been talking about this for quite some time, but it wasn't provided to us when we made our vote on that, just for the clarification on that. We did know it was a CBRF. We recently had a CBRF. It's coming across over by Loomis and the bank over there, and that's an Alzheimer's CBRF. So in our minds, we're thinking that type of CBRF. We're not thinking about, you know, one that I learned after the fact that the plan commission packet says they're going to have some kind of elopement management plan, which sounds like they're going to have to wear some type of restraint to track the individual. So when the item was before the plan commission, I attempted to get a plan commission packet because our mayor has told us we're not getting plan commission packets unless we strongly object to that. I did object to that. I asked staff for a plan commission packet. I was not able to get a plan commission packet to read before the meeting happened. Typically, we used to get these big plats. What I was finally able to get for the plan commission packet after the fact was the small 8x11, which made them very hard to read. However, I was able to look at the building placement with the elopement management plan and the gating and the grading. They would be grading within the 50-foot setback. So when staff says there wouldn't be anything in that setback, that's not correct. It's a grading area that is allowed as long as they restore it. But if that area were determined to be navigable, they would then be in a 75-foot area, which would require a special exception before the Environmental Commission and a public hearing notice in the paper, and you would have your public hearing. So I think the motion that your district dollar person made is extremely relevant to this, and the fact that it wasn't verified during the planning process and now we have a site plan that may be questionable. Maybe there's nothing to do with 75-foot setback, but I think you all deserve an answer on that. The city attorney mentioned something about an agreement that needed to be signed. I wasn't at the plan commission, so I don't know what that's all about. But I'm wondering, when item G4 came before us on March 3rd, had the council known that we weren't just giving an Alzheimer building and a business and trying to be business friendly, that we were possibly letting in a different type of facility that might have been more questionable to all of you, I wonder if we would have voted on allowing them not to put the water all the way down the site. And I think not having that information certainly had a bearing on my vote. And the fact that Mayor Olson fully knew what type of facility this was, because Suzanne Mayer was late coming to the meeting because she was at one of your public hearing meetings, and I said, I don't think she's going to be here. She's off with the neighbors and in a meeting that I don't think was doing her too well. And he said, well, not my fault. I told her to get in front of this. So if your mayor had the opportunity to tell the mayor or the alderman of the district to get in front of something, he obviously knew this was much more than just a regular CBRF. And I feel like my vote could have been different on the water issue. And had the information been presented as such, and our vote would have changed to have them put the water all the way down, like many of you said, if you owned it, you would be made to do that. that it might have been cost prohibitive for them to move forward with us. But we didn't get that opportunity. So once again, I am pointing out procedure, and I'm getting to the point where we either have to fix the procedure this, or I feel like I need to resign, because I cannot work for the residents under this type of policy.
Okay.
The
only way we can do that is to have the alderman withdraw her motion and resubmit it later.
I'll call the question on the motion.
Or we can do that. The motion's been...
Second.
Thank you. The motion is to call the question. All those in favor of calling the question signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to call the question. Question's been called. Suzanne, would you read your motion back? I'd ask the clerk, but it's now the deputy clerk.
Motion to direct staff to request the DNR and the Army Corps of Engineers for a wetland delineation, concurrence, and navigability determination, and that no further action by staff that propels this project along shall be made before these documents come back before the Common Council.
Who seconded? All right, so the motion has been called. So all of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Now, we have suspended the rules, so please, anyone wishing to speak, name and address, please, for record.
Yes, my name is Matt Parkle. I'm at 9439 West Woodview Drive. I got a couple things need to talk about with this. First and foremost, I'm not afraid to say it, you work for us, we do not work for you. Mayor, you have failed us. City Attorney, you have failed us. You are absolutely putting the cart before the horse on this. Just a few moments ago, we were told with a separate issue that in order for a waterway or delineation, DNR had to come in. Am I not mistaken that? That was absolutely said just a few moments ago. But now they're saying, nah, don't worry about it, we don't. No, it's either one rule or another. Changing mid-rules because we're trying to cover up your failures, significant problem with that, sir. Absolute problem with that. Secondly, where we are talking about, whether or not it is or is not a wetlands, and if you look at Google Earth, my lot looks completely different than what it is. Through my front yard, which is a whole other issue that you and I are going to talk about offline someday, my ditches are almost 8 feet deep. That is how much water runs from my yard to where we're talking. I have video of the amount of water that goes through my front yard to this area. I have families of ducks that live in my ditches. That is how much waterway we are talking that drains into this. So to say, oh, no, there's not really that much because Google Earth doesn't say that, I don't care what Google Earth says. That's not what we want. We need... by rules that have already been established that DNR needs to come in and do this delineation to determine if it is 50 or 75 foot requirement. That's our baseline. Jumping ahead to what the attorney says, well, this, that, we're not even to that yet. We need to find out if we can even, by our current statute, put a structure there. Whether or not we can build a structure, if it determines that yes, we can, then we'll approach those issues. See if we can even, by our current bylaws, by our current statutes, put something there. The fact that you put the cart before the horse, that's not our problem now. That's your problem to fix.
Thank you. Thank you,
sir. Yes, sir. Name and address, please.
Michael Fleece, 9205 South 92nd Street, right next to where this is going to happen. The only thing I want to say, it's a public safety issue. That water is deep. I know. I've been in it. I was foolish enough as a young person to walk into that swamp. I'm lucky to be alive today. Now we're talking about mentally challenged people in that area. That is a concern. Susan Mayer is absolutely correct. That is wet, but it's also deep. Please keep that in mind.
Thank you very much. By the way, Mr. City Engineer, would you meet with Mr. Parko and take a look at his drainage issue?
I've got a couple ahead of him on that. I've emailed you on.
I have no doubt. Mr. Salmon.
As far as I am aware, I do not believe this facility is licensed to be a CBRF yet at this point. Is that correct, Mr. Attorney?
Mr. City Attorney.
That's correct.
So they cannot proceed anyway. So
they have to get a license. The plan commission approval was subject to the community-based residential facility obtaining that license, and until they get a local approval, there's no site to apply for.
So technically, we could send in the DNR without slowing them down because they don't have that license. You know what I'm saying?
They're in the application process, I assume.
No, they're not. They told us there's no application.
No,
folks,
I talked to Mr. Albert Johnson as well. And it's, I'm just asking, I'm not putting you on the spot, but since they do not have the items to move forward, they're not licensed, so they can't move forward. So by us calling in the DNR, we are not slowing them down. They haven't even began to start yet. Do you get what I'm saying? Maybe I'm not explaining
it. I understand.
Maybe
I'm, I'm not representing the applicant.
Folks,
I'm
please.
I'm just Let's trying to read and apply the law. That's
no,
it. And I understood that they're in the application process. I know they said that they hadn't started it yet, but that's how these things work. They apply. You can go through hundreds of approvals, resolutions, plan development district ordinances for forever in the city of Franklin, and they're conditioned upon obtaining whatever the required approvals are. People don't have building permits. Applicant comes in, he wants, or she or it wants to put a project and build something somewhere. They don't have a building permit. It's a condition of the approval.
Well, I understand. But since they cannot move forward, we wouldn't be slowing them down.
My concern was not with staff going to DNR and saying, could you please look at this site and see if there's some error here or if there's a problem. It was with telling staff, do nothing on this project until that happens. Get into dark water there, legally, possibly.
Thank you, Mr. Salmon. Ms. Benny.
Angie Benning, 9272 South 96th Street. You had stated that there was two people, companies, that had looked at that property. Besides Excel Engineering, who was the second one?
And that's Mr. Diebel.
I think it was Grave.
You think it was who?
Grave. Grave Consulting Engineering.
Do you know when that was?
5 or 10 years ago, probably.
Okay. So with being 5 or 10 years ago, why can we not have somebody else come out and look at the property? They haven't even purchased the property yet.
That was a condition of our approval, of the Plan Commission's approval. Another consultant, a third consultant, would get.
Mayor.
Alderwoman Willow.
Even you can have 3, 4, 5, 6 consultants, and again, the only one who can make a determination on navigability is the state.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter how many consultants we have. The point remains the same. Their question is it a 75-foot setback or is it a 50-foot setback? Mr. Dietl, was there a development review team meeting for this project?
No.
And why not? Because this is a significant facility where there will be handicapped people that require an additional look at fire and police protection, and all of those development review committee meetings address police and fire with developments. And we did that just recently for something in the business park where we were not talking about handicapped people. So why wasn't there a development review meeting on this?
It's optional, not required. No one requested it.
Okay. You're aware of the 2002 policy where the aldermen are supposed to be given all the information, notification of city aldermen on activities requiring any development, right? So are we...
When we got an application, we always route it to the alderperson. We did in this case, we always do.
And I noticed when she got the information for some of the emails, S.Mayor was her email address and not her actual email address. So you might want to check on that.
Alderwoman, I personally gave her my copy of the routing slip. So, and you even highlighted that in your discussion earlier.
So when you talk about you having another consultant review this, is this an engineering firm that we're using in-house?
We rotate between three of them usually.
That was a policy that was done back when I was on the Environmental Commission, back when they basically fired the Environmental Commission and put in three consultants. That contract expired quite some time ago.
Correct.
So we don't currently have a contract.
Correct.
So how are we asking engineers to come in and review things when we don't have a contract that was approved by this council?
We're just letting the applicant know that we have concerns about the natural resource information and that staff doesn't have the ability to make final determinations, and we recommend that they have another consultant review that information that we pick. And so far, all the applicants have agreed to do that for the 9 years that I've been here, plus a little bit longer.
We're basically going out and getting outside consultant services without any council policy that allows us to do that.
It's a carryover from before that has expired.
I would suggest that policy come before this council and get reapproved before we continue on with a policy that we don't have in place.
It could. I would believe that it's...
All right. I have to take a recess. Can we take a 10-minute recess, please? A recess is half a substantial standing with request, and so I request that.
You've got a room full of people here that want to talk to the Common Council. It's the
I think I can sum this up.
Can we have your name and address, please?
My name is Michael G. Bush. I live at 9455 South 96th Street. Been there for over 30 years, okay? And our 50-year-old or better, from what I understand, is one of the oldest or first subdivisions ever in the city of Franklin. Just a couple things to say. Number one, I've been plumbing for 37 years. I've been a plumber. I have put a lot of pipes, a lot of sinks, a lot of toilets, and many, many CBRFs. None ever had a basketball court. And when I addressed Mr. Talbert after the first meeting about that, he didn't have an answer for me. On behalf of this room and our modest 50-year-old or better subdivision, why do you got to mess with us? You know, we're not here against a CBRF. Believe me, we know all the rules, if you can't tell by now. First of all, I got too excited. I want to thank you guys and ladies for hearing us tonight, okay? You're to be commended. It's not easy being you. It's not easy being us. We just mind our own business, go about our everyday routine. And the thing about the basketball court is really what I think irking a lot of us. We're all, like the young lady said, we're all going to be in a CBRF someday. It's not about a CBRF. Okay, it's not about that. The basketball court and Mr. Talbert's track record speaks for itself. Okay. On behalf of the Briarwood subdivision, we don't like it. We're not happy. We don't want it. Could you put it somewhere else in Franklin?
Want to recess? Or do you want to continue on? Well.
Yeah, wait for her.
No, that's not how it works. She got up and left against policy. And quite frankly, it was rude of her. So, anyone else wishing to speak on this matter? Yes, sir. Your name and address, please.
Brian Clare, 9320 South 96th Street, Franklin. Well, sitting here and listening to the conversation that you've been having about this company that wants to build this, it sounds like from Greenfield out and the other places where they've tried to have these places, facilities built, and it seems like what they're doing is they're in the business of using the government policies for suing. It seems like it's all about money for them. I don't think they really want to build this on that land. They want to go away after. They're looking for some money. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yes, sir, please. Name and address, as you know.
Carl Brust, 9411 South 92nd Street. I agree that I think that we need the DNR to look at this more recently than they probably have, because you're the experts. You can tell me how many houses have gone into that subdivision since we put sewer in. But I know I have five of them that touch my lot or across the street. And it's changed the drainage completely to the point where I spent $4,000 last year on fill and trying to work my drainage out, and it hasn't affected a thing. So I know the drainage has changed since we put all these new homes in. And I think that since we put these new homes in, somebody's got to look at this and see if it's changed on my property. It's probably changed across the street. And I talked to this woman, we talked about a month ago at the first meeting, and they told me the reason that they're putting the basketball court in is for the employees. And that's what they told me. And that there were three people here, and the woman that was there, she says, we're mainly doing it for the employees. You're either working or you're not. So to say that you're putting the basketball court in for the employees, it's probably a true statement, but it seems kind of goofy to me that, you know, you do it for somebody who should be inside working. So.
Very good. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Hi, David Coolidge, 9205 South 94th Street. I got a question. If I'm allowed to ask a question. Why is this zoned for residential? Correct me if I'm wrong. Are these people doing this for free? Is this a business? Are they in it to make money? It's a business, correct? They're doing it to make money. So you can put any business and claim to be whatever in our neighborhood or any other neighborhood that makes business. I mean, it's a business. It's there to make money. Why is it zoned for residential use? That makes no sense to me. If it's a business and it's there to make money, shouldn't it be zoned something else? Is that a state thing? Is that a Franklin thing? Is that a county thing? Municipality? What? I mean, is that a federal thing? Mr. City Attorney, you're doing all legalese there. Which is it?
Well, we pay them a lot to do that. So.
Well, I understand that, but it seems more like let's be cowards, let's turn, let's run, because some guy's going to threaten us. And I got to tell you, when I was here at the last meeting, that was all crap. This guy was full of shit. Everybody that bought... I understand that. But everybody that buys, we need a basketball court? Or this is going to be all elderly, disabled? Are you kidding me with the possibility of expansion? 17 acres? Come on, man. That's all crap. And we all know it. If we sit here and actually believe that, that's ridiculous. And again, the zone thing, I'm not sure how that works, but if it's a business... it ought to be zoned something else other than residential. I got time.
The residential zone is based in the state law, Chapter 205, Section 1, laws of 1977, provides the legislative purpose of the CBRF, or Community Living Arrangement zoning laws, and in brief part, the purpose was to reduce institutionalization. Residents of the facility should be able to live in a manner similar to the other residents of the area. And that the legislature finds that zoning ordinances should not be used to bar, at that time it said, all community living arrangements, since these arrangements resemble families in all senses of the word, except for the fact that the residents might not be related. It's a quote from 1977 Wisconsin law.
Well, that seems like, yeah, that 77, geez, that was just yesterday. I mean, obviously something needs to be changed there, and I guess whose job is that? You as a city attorney, okay, again, you're being paid by the city of Franklin, correct? Yes. Is that your job to fight for us? I question something like this? Okay, take it back. I don't expect you to fight for me, okay? But is it your job to possibly look into it rather than run tail and run?
Yeah. No tail running involved here.
Okay, but I'm questioning it. Questioning it.
Well, let's treat everybody with respect.
Okay, I apologize if I somehow stepped on you.
I did look at it and reviewed it. The city of Franklin had CBRF applications through the years. It has been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we reviewed the statute, the local ordinances, read Wisconsin municipalities' legal opinions, looked at the federal case law, and that was the brief summary I mentioned earlier. Had conversation. Somebody brought up the city of Greenfield. Had a conversation with the city of Greenfield city attorney. No legal basis on an 8 or fewer bed. That's a permitted residential use to simply deny.
I understand where you're coming from. Okay, but your job is also to, as well as listen, advise the city. But isn't it your job to also question? Okay, should this be zoned? I mean, this makes no sense to me that it would be zoned residential if it's a business. I don't think anybody here understands that.
It's all subject to the state licensing for community-based residential facilities. I just read.
So, right. Okay.
What the state?
Whose job is that to question it and possibly change that law?
Is
that something that you would make motion to possibly?
No, staff. He does not make motions.
Okay. Not make a motion, but is it your job to fight for the city of Franklin to possibly maybe get that changed?
The city attorney's office doesn't instigate policy matters, nor do they instigate legislation. The best way to handle this, frankly, is for you folks to contact the state legislature to change the law.
Okay, so Steve, is that something you'll help us do?
Sure. Give me a call. I'm happy to help. Yes, sir. Name and address, please.
Michael DeGrave, 9421 South 94th Street. Just kind of following up on what the last gentleman said about zoning. If you look at residential child care facilities, cities or counties may impose zoning conditions and change them if the resident or the establishment maintenance of a family daycare provider in a home and at home area zoned residential can be changed to a commercial use. So why wouldn't this facility have to be changed to a commercial use like this last gentleman was just saying?
Who wants it? The city attorney just explained that.
Yeah, I thought I just answered that. Yeah. It was zoned, is the question to rezone after the fact? Once an application is filed as some form of circumvention?
Maybe the application should
have been
filed.
It's not the city's choice on whether or not an application should be filed.
Who approves it, though?
Whose choice is it?
The applicants.
Yeah. We know you. Mr. Sam.
What would it take to appeal the variance for the water? What? Either not run it or make them run it all the way down.
Right.
Why do they get special treatment as opposed to everyone else here?
Mr. City Engineer.
They made a compelling case, and so per our city ordinances, we actually took it to the Board of Water Commissioners. We presented all the issues, and Board of Water Commissioners made a recommendation to City Council.
So what would it take to undo that? We don't want special treatment. If they're going to come in, they might as well run the water down so the rest of us can use it.
Mr. City Attorney.
I noticed the reference or the terminology calling this a variance. It's not a variance. A variance is a legal term of art with regard to varying from zoning codes and the like. Did some research at the request of the city engineer right before this went to the Board of Water Commissioners. Found the only city ordinance, written rule, regulation, anything in writing that I found was with regard to when somebody's dividing land, new subdivision and the like, the requirement is to extend water to the end of the property line. Found nothing that said that for an individual freestanding property. That was the beginning and the end of what I did to that point. And with regard to appeal, well, it's not a variance. It's a common policy decision, common in the sense of not that it happens all the time, but there is no specific ordinance on point, such as with a zoning ordinance or an amend the municipal code ordinance that specifies any specific appeal time or the like. I have not seen any question on appellate time here. So I really hesitate to give you concepts off the top of my head in terms of appeal time, and that's something that should be researched. Well, the decision was on March 3, Common Council, as I recall. I did catch a question somewhere recently about potential reconsideration. That has to occur at the next regular meeting, so that time expired. It was March 17. March 3 is more than 30 days ago. If there's some appeal general requirement for non-specified appeal times, overall catch-all theoretically, I didn't research it, no one asked, didn't think of appeal times. If it's 30 days, that would be passed. If it's 60 days, it's not. Somebody's got to look at it, and there's no specified appeal time for this type of action.
So we could appeal it?
Theoretically, you can appeal anything, and whether or not you prevail or not, whether or not it's timely, depends on four or five different methodologies to appeal a decision of a local governmental body. I'm giving you the wordy response without giving you an answer, but I told you I didn't look at it, and I'm not aware of any appeal provision that would just govern this general thing. I'd have to look at it.
Okay. One last question. What would be the first step to appealing it? Would it be tonight?
I'm understanding that you're talking about an appeal to circuit court. So that would be...
I'm just appealing to you because I don't know the answer.
A revote.
Yeah, what would it take to revote?
I mean, like to rescind the action...
Yes.
The decision to run the water halfway. Like, we've seen that decision.
Either all the way or...
Time for reconsideration has passed.
I tried that.
Yes, sir. Name and address, please.
Andrew Wenzel, 9308 South 92nd, on the property directly south of the CBRF. I guess my question is, if they do future expand, there's a piece of property there that my family has maintained probably for over 60 years, 50 years. What happens if they expand and now I've maintained that piece of property? Do they just come and say, okay, that's ours now, we can put what we want here, or are there any laws like that, or how does that work, or how is that going to affect me and my family?
I'm not sure what you mean by maintain. Do you own that land?
I do not own the land, but way back when my great-grandfather farmed the land, we've always maintained it, cut the grass, kept the trees back, always parked vehicles there, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm not sure that you wanted to say that on the record.
Well, I'm not afraid to tell you what I'm doing. You people are, so let's be honest.
Attorney, I'm getting your rights to the property.
Spotted rights.
1800s.
I thought the question was about future expansions on this particular parcel.
Yeah, how is that going to affect me? Like I said, I maintain this certain piece of property that they own the parcel, correct? I maintain part of that land, I guess. Back in college, I went and they told us in landscaping, if you've maintained basically squatters, right, a piece of land, property, for X amount of years and nobody's used it, kind of becomes yours.
I don't think it's appropriate for a municipal attorney whose primary task is to represent the governing body and municipal officers to speak about private property and adverse possession rights without seeing it.
That's fine. I don't know. That's why I'm here to asking you, and you've answered my question. Now, the other question I have is they build this wonderful basketball court, and we talk about, you know, floodplains and this and that. Well, I'm an opera engineer. I grade roads for a living. I know when you put pavement, that's a lot of watershed. It puts more water into marshes. I'm sure the city engineer knows that as well. So now when those marshes overflow, and now it creates a navigable waterway behind my house, which is a creek already, can that become navigable waterway? And now, well, I want to sell. Well, you can't. It's navigable waterway. Or is that, you know, I don't know. How does this work? I'm new to this. So those are my questions. So thanks.
Mr. Needle.
Stream navigability is a determination only the DNR can make. It's based on a number of factors. Typically, streams become navigable when they have a defined bed and bank and they can carry enough water to float manned craft on a annually recurring basis, which is usually spring. DNR makes that call. Streams can change from navigable to non-navigable, back to navigable.
Alderman,
please. So water issues or drainage issues is one sign of a possible navigable stream, but for the official determination, it has to have a bed in the bank and enough water on an annually recurring basis. Land uses can change it. Filling and grading can change it from being navigable to not navigable or the other way around. They make the determinations when requested by the community or the property owner, the DNR does, and we collect that information to maintain it. We don't have any navigability determinations in this area, but that's not a guarantee that it is or is not navigable.
Yeah, I just remind everybody that the motion that Alderwoman Mayer made included having staff request the DNR go out and do a delineation and a determination. So it's going to happen. Alderwoman Mayer. Excuse me.
I just want to state something, I guess. You know, there are enough current water issues over there in that area, enough legitimate future concerns about water issues than any development that would take place on that triangle needs to be looked at very carefully. I think the DNR should have been involved with it right away. I don't think that this motion is something that should be questioned. It should have been done right away. And, you know, there's 300-plus people very concerned about this, and there's people up and down that road who are going to have water issues at some point. So I think we just need to move forward with that.
Ms. Benny.
My first question, I guess, would be, have any of you actually been out to the property?
I haven't walked it, but I've been there.
I have not been on the property, but you can see from the road the the water. You can see the navigable water from the road. You can clearly see that you could take a canoe and go from one side to the other, and that is actually directly next to where they're planning to put the driveway, just so you are aware. And I wanted to bring up that the company has stated that they were going to abide by, you know, the Natural Resource Protection Plan to keep the certain amount of trees that they needed to keep. What happens in the future when they're going to add on to this facility? What happens then? Is that null and void, the percentage of trees that they need to keep, because they had they stated that they were going to, in the future, have plans to make this facility larger. So would that not be impacting the percentage of trees at that point? Because no one ever brought that up either.
The proposal is 5 beds now, 8 beds in the future. Now, mm-hmm. Mr. Deedle, are they intending on changing the footprint of the building?
No plans at this time.
And what if they do come back with a plan to enlarge the building?
Anything over 8 has to get another approval from the city, and it puts it in the category where there's a public hearing.
Thank you. Alderwoman Mayer.
In regards to the trees, there's a property south of that that they built a home. It's my understanding that there were not very many trees that were allowed to be cut down at all for their footprint. They basically have no front yard and that kind of thing. How was that determined for the home to be built, that they can't cut down very many trees, but a property just north of that, you know? I don't know what my understanding is, that they're going to not cut down a lot of trees, but how do we know? How do we know that?
Well, single-family homes are exempt from these rules, so they can cut down as many trees as they want if it's just for a single-family home. Now, if they were trying to do it because they wanted to run a shop out of their garage, well, then they'd run into problems. Then they would have to abide by these rules. But single-family homes on previously approved lots of record don't have to follow our extra standards. They only have to follow the basic standards that apply throughout the entire state. So that would be just okay. The wetlands and just a floodplain.
All right.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Notice the key was previously approved lots of record, which is why I've been stating about the setback rules when you approve a CSM, and then you create a lot, and then when you come back later, you know, it's really hard to come back after the fact. And, you know, we had the same situation when it was like the Hickory Grove area, when they came in the first time and they took some trees, and then they came in again and they took some more. We had this at Deerwood, the same thing. People come and go, different council members, different staff members, and next thing you know, it's like, well, I had to dig back in my files for several of these and pull them up and say, hey, they took their so many percent last time, and now you're allowing them to take more. So you might want to keep this all in your files, because it, when they come forward, they did the whole lot as one big one, and typically when we do that with developments, we have them put what they don't develop in a conservation easement. Mr. Deal, was there any conservation easements
going to be set up on this one? It is a condition of approval that they do.
A condition of approval. So we haven't even seen the conservation easement yet, so you might want to make sure that. Is that going to come before the council?
Yes. Yeah. Conservation easements do.
Well, there's one opportunity for you that you can double check to make sure that that's all calculated right and conservation is set up right. But I was the person who asked the city attorney about the reconsideration. As some of them who voted in the affirmative, you can come back and do a reconsideration of a vote at the very next meeting. Missed it by a meeting when I asked him. The special meetings apparently don't count. But again, if I had the information a little bit sooner, maybe I could have requested that reconsideration a little sooner before that time expired. But I did ask for that. I guess I think since a lot of you want to know how you can work around the variance or prevent that from happening, variance is not quite the term, as the city attorney said, but the water issue, maybe we could ask the city attorney to look into what rights we have as a city other than the reconsideration of the vote. And I guess I can turn that into a motion.
He's got it.
Well, I like to put things on the record because they don't seem to show up sometimes. So I will make a motion to have the city attorney look into the possibility of changing the determination of the water, the water going down the site at the CBRF facility.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion on that motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mayor, could we have that come back at the same time when the DNR determination comes back so we can have both of these together?
Sure. We just don't know when the DNR is going to come back.
I understand.
So we'll do this.
It might give more time. Unless there's a time frame and he has to bring it back sooner, which might be an issue.
Well, he's got a lot on his plate right now. I mean, whatever you want, you put a time on it.
Well, I think it should be as soon as possible. If he comes back and the deadline is next meeting. You know, what the deadline's tomorrow, and you say, well, we missed
next
it by
meeting.
A day.
Next meeting.
You know, we don't want to do that either.
Next meeting. Yes, sir, please.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
My name is Richard Pollock from 9110 West Ryan Place in Franklin. I have some concerns, I guess. I wasn't here for the first meeting, so I didn't hear what Mr. Talbert's representative had to say about what the intent of this was. But when I heard there was going to be a basketball court, it got to me, I'm going to look this up and see what's going on. You don't need a basketball court for employees. You do not need a basketball court for disabled people. But you could use a basketball court for people who are in need of other things, such as drug abuse, substance abuse, sex offenders, and the like, who could end up being there. They can change their intent for their project at any time. And the only thing that we have to say is we have a meeting that we can go with them and talk to them about. Basically, I've got the thing here. This is what it reads, and this is from the state statutes. Section 5003, I believe. Prior to initial licensure of a community-based residential facility, the applicant for licensure shall make a good faith effort to establish a community advisory committee consisting of representatives from the proposed community-based residential facility. The neighborhood in which the proposed community-based residential facility will be located and a local unit of government. The community advisory committee shall provide a forum for communication for those persons interested in the proposed community-based residential facility. Any committee established under this paragraph shall continue in existence after licensure to make recommendations to the licensee regarding the impact of the community-based residential facility on the neighborhood. The department shall determine compliance with this paragraph both prior to and after initial licensure. Now, it appears to me that the state obviously knows there's going to be some resentment, some resistance to the construction of such a facility here. They're saying all this company has to do is do a good faith representation that they tried to get a committee assembled. That's all they have to do? And all we can do is make recommendations to them? You know, I didn't even know about this thing. All I saw was flags going up. I'm thinking, okay, there's somebody going to build a house or something. Nobody told anybody there was going to be this kind of facility built there. Or we would have all been here before now. What I'd like to know is when the sewers came through, and I asked for water because it came through, but I received letters from all over the place from the city saying, we're bringing water through, this is what's going to cost, this is what's going to be done. We got nothing from the city on this. That there's going to be a facility proposed for here. If you have any objections, at least come forward and state them. We don't find out about it until after it's been done. That you've taken votes on the measures, we have no input on it, we couldn't say anything. Could you explain to me why that whole procedure wasn't followed through, but can be followed through for water, but not for an environment where it could drastically affect our entire neighborhood? Who knows who's going to end up there? What happens if it is? They say, okay, well, we changed it. We're going to have a different building there. We're going to have a different program there with different clientele, and they're going to be a sex offender. Now, if you look on their site, on the first site, they just concentrate basically on drug abuse and substance abuse. But if you dig into it, and I went into looking for employment, they're looking for people to work with sex offenders, people to work with, people who are just released from jail. And who knows going to, you know, what if they decide right after they build it, they say, hey, we can't find enough handicapped people to put in there. We're bringing in some sex offenders. What's the city going to do then?
It'd be great if the school bus stops there, too.
Yeah.
Because they get the site.
I would like to see if the police department would at least contact the agencies around where their other facilities are and see if they've had an increase in crime in the area. They're prohibited from state law from doing any restriction on them. They can't make a curfew. They can't make any rules or regulations stating they have to stay in. They can't influence the client's behavior in any way. They have to be free to leave if they want to.
I'm sure it wouldn't happen in your neighborhood.
I mean, if this was filled today, it was built in across from your house, would you have been concerned about it?
It would never happen.
The mayor sent me an email saying that if it was next to his house, he would be doing the same thing that we're doing.
Absolutely true.
So why would you?
Then why weren't we notified?
Help us.
Have you been aware of it before? This meeting wouldn't even be happening today.
Well, first of all, we're bound by our laws and our procedures, so we have to do what we have to do. Now, as the mayor, I rely on the aldermen to take care of their districts. I'm sorry, but I get taken to task by these aldermen for doing stuff in their districts, so that's the way it is. As it relates to the plan commission, there was no requirement. There was no requirement for public notice.
There has to be a requirement for our representatives to notify us. We have to basically follow you guys around and say, "Hey, you better notify somebody on that. That's going to affect their neighborhood
and your property value."
Yes,
folks. You know, I'm sorry, but it's the alderman's responsibility to take care of their constituents. That's why they're elected.
Well.
She's entitled to a vacation.
Doesn't the dollar stop right at the top? Even Obama says that.
I'll be happy to help you with notifications. Absolutely.
Oh, it's a little late now.
Well,
everything's been passed. It's going to go in. You guys are going to give them water and everything else. There's another thing I'm going to read here, because if maybe somebody had been aware of it, they wouldn't have. This is from the Department of Health and Services, Section 8347, sub 2, public water supply. This is for the construction of the buildings.
Alderman?
The CBRF shall use a public water supply when available. If a public water supply is not available, the CBRF shall have a well that is approved by the State Department of Natural Resources. The CBRF will have the water supply tested at least annually by the State Laboratory of Hygiene or other laboratory approved under Chapter NR 149. The CBRF shall maintain documentation for annual testing results. If they had a well in that area, they're going to have a lot of stuff that's not going to be approved by the state. I can tell you that, because I've had my water tested.
Thank you.
So, everything that's being happened here is water over the dam.
Thank you. Name and address, please.
Ted Grinchus, 7562 South Nottingham Way. I have lived in the city of Franklin for over 40 years, and I've gone through two of those, I guess, situations like you are discussing here. There's a CBRF that's three houses away from me, and we went through the same battle. We also had the same situation with the church, where in our aldermanic district, we got very upset about and spent a lot of time here at meetings doing this. But I have to take issue with what was said a few seconds ago, that the aldermen shouldn't be involved. Our aldermen were on the forefront of this. They knew it was coming. Mayor Olson said the alderman was informed. As a matter of fact, all the aldermen were informed. And instantaneously, before it got to the plan commission, we had action that took place so that we could address 95% of the issues that you were talking about, because your alderman wasn't there to help you out when you should have been there, when she should have been there to help you out. And what is being discussed by Alderman Willem also happened long before it came to the council. When it is here, after a plan commission vote, you are coming from weakness. And that is, you can blame it on the mayor all you want, but it is the aldermen that did nothing, and they did nothing, and you are all sitting here, you didn't know about it. You should have known about it, and you should have gone to your alderman, and she should have been there for the plan commission meeting. When you went to it for the environmental condition, should have been there for that. When you had other meetings, whether they were engineering, water board meetings, you should have been there for that. But now you're here, and you're coming from weakness because the plan commission took a vote, and there's an approved use, and so now you're coming from behind the eight ball. And what I would like to know, and perhaps all of the people here would like, now that we're at this point, and yes, we're worrying about the water, but say the DNR comes back and says, it's no problem here, and the plan commission and others say, there's plenty of space for that here, and there are no issues. What recourse do these folks have then?
Mayor?
Alderman Willem.
Well, there wasn't 100% accuracy with those statements. Friend of the mayor's, by the way. Person that I voted against to be on one of the boards and commissions. Information, as I stated, and I have an email from the mayor that didn't have the plan commission packets coming to the council for quite some time. And I think I already stated that. I tried to get the plan commission packet and wasn't able to get it until afterwards. So the statement that we all had it, we all knew the information. We only saw the water vote. That happened on the 3rd of March. The plan commission meeting took place, I believe, on the 19th of March. So we did not have that information on March 3rd when we voted on the water. Site plan only goes before the plan commission. This council didn't vote on it. So clarification to Mr. Grinch's statements that we all knew.
Now, just to allay the fears about subterfuge and hidden agendas, I made a decision, an administrative decision, some time ago, back in February, I believe, that we were spending too many taxpayers' dollars generating tons of paper that, in essence, weren't being read or duplicated many times over. So I made the management decision to stop doing that. And the notice to the alderman was, if you wanted a packet, ask for it. That simple. Folks. No, they get the information that's on the agenda. If they want the full packet, which many times is substantial, all they have to do is ask for it.
I did.
Did you ask for one? Did you receive one?
Fine. It's fine. I don't know her specific circumstance, so I can't speak to that. I'm just telling you that the background.
Right now.
I'm telling you that the background was merely to reduce the cost of paper in the city. That was it.
Perfect timing.
See, you know, that's just not helpful.
Mr. Mayor, you're not helpful to jump throwing one of your alderperson under the bus either. I'm sorry. With all due respect, sir.
Okay.
At the
Mr.
approval
Salmon.
Of the site plan, did anyone have the authority to stop the proceedings and wait for our aldermen to return?
Yes.
Yeah. Could that have been the mayor?
Mm-hmm. Could have. I was not aware that she was on vacation.
Oh, my God.
And as I said before...
Sir, you told me she was on vacation. I spoke with you on the phone.
I found out after the agenda was published. Absolutely.
Look at that nice
little slide. Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak? Alderman Dandria.
Mr. Deedle, when were we first approached by this project by the developer? What's the date?
I don't know for sure. Early this year, they came in with an earlier proposal.
Early this year, can you give me an approximate time frame? February?
January, February. When would you notify the aldermen and the mayor of this project and the departments?
We'll notify the mayor and the aldermen of the district when we get a solid proposal and a common council. Every member of the common council gets a routing slip when anything is submitted, and every member of the common council gets an electronic copy of the planning commission packet.
To the right email?
So do we have...
To the best of our ability and knowledge, same email that we always provide.
So do you have a copy of that routing slip that would have been given to the people? To the aldermen?
Yes, in my office.
Can you... I'd like to create a timeline. Because usually when I have this stuff, I am meeting with the developers, and then at those points, we are discussing if we need to have a community meeting. And so everybody wants to throw everybody under the bus. Come on. It's not about throwing somebody under the bus anymore. We have to do what we can do, and the our city council is going to, and he's been ordered to, see what possible solutions we have to this scenario. I mean, I know everybody's upset out there, but let's give us an opportunity also to try to put a conclusion to this situation that we're in. We can't do it now, but we need time to be able to do it. We hear you loud and clear. I need to get the timeline in my understanding so I can see where the ball was dropped, and then we can look at our processes and procedures and see where we've got to go internally. And then we'll internally as well, we're working with our council to see what we can do for you all. But we've got to move on with this topic. We understand it clear. And I thank you all for coming, but we've got to move forward with our meeting.
All over the mayor's comment.
Well, I mean, I want to address something with you all, and I do want to apologize to everyone for being a young alderman and you being stuck with me on that. It would have been nice to have some guidance from staff and from the mayor. He did call me and let me know that I should, you know, be in front of this. That would have been probably around February 13th. That's about the time that the application came in. I believe that I found I did find the sheet that Alderman D'Andrea is talking about. At that same time, though, I was also being directed that there wasn't a lot that could happen. There wasn't a lot the city can do. We are, you know, bound by state statute, et cetera, et cetera. So I apologize for my lack of experience in something like this. And, you know, hopefully we can move forward and we can get this situated. Sorry.
Thank you, Alderman.
Apology accepted.
Yep.
That's good, and that's kind of you. Thank you. Mr. Lewandowski.
8030 West Winston Way. I was just wondering, Mr. Mayor, wasn't there an issue in the past when activity like this took place that they were supposed to send letters out to properties within 200 feet of something going on like this?
That's under a zoning. That's for a zoning change.
Zoning only? Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Mr. Salmon, there's somebody else.
Let's... Sorry. Dan Tizak, 9470 South 94th Street. After this project gets pushed through, when our house values plummet, are our taxes going to follow accordingly?
Well,
probably not.
Well, a serious answer to a question that's serious for you. The answer is if your house values go down, yes, of course your rate will stay the same, but your assessed value would. That's assuming that your house values go down.
Yeah.
Alderman Mayer.
I would like to make a motion that any future CVRFs that are introduced into the city of Franklin, that the aldermen in the district know by phone call and, well, it's already written, but by phone call and having a community
development review
meeting, so that everybody can be brought up to speed and direction given on how to proceed with the neighbors. And I think the neighbors in the area should have letters written to them to let them know in advance.
Quite before a second question on that letters, distance, and who does it?
What do you mean, who does it?
Well, who would be responsible for producing the letter and sending it out?
It could be.
Well, I heard constituents say aldermen. I've done it for my district, but I just wanted to answer the question for the motion. That's all.
I think staff can help direct the aldermen in something like that.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second discussion.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Typically, under ordinance, that notification is done by staff under the 200-foot surrounding rule, and so rather than you having to spend your ink and your mailing and your stamps, you should follow the same procedure that is followed.
I agree. I would amend it to that.
Well, again, the 200 feet is for zoning, but if you'd like to amend your motion to specify that being a city responsibility, that's fine by me.
City responsibility with the alderman being well aware of the letter and who it's going to.
And what distance?
Distance? The 200 feet is fine.
Okay. So you have the second, is that agreed?
200 feet? I don't know. I might increase that.
A mile?
A half a mile?
Well,
half a mile.
When you look at if it's going to come in an area, you know, like this area is, and you're looking at the guy who lives to the south of this, I'm pretty sure he's probably 200 feet away from where the exact building will go. So I think the water length of that was 1,800 feet or something coming down from the top. I can't remember the exact length of that water run, but I might say 2,000 feet.
2,500. Your motion is?
My motion would be 1,000 feet.
Okay. I'll go along with that with my second.
Moved and second to provide notification guidelines, actually requirements for CBRFs. Any other questions on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Salmon.
I'll try to help wrap this up. I just want to say thank you to everyone. We're all hoping you can help us out. I'd really like to thank the lady that's typing back there. We're sorry for the carpal tunnel.
Just so you all know, this is Deputy Clerk Roberts. She's a wonderful asset. We do have an election tonight, and the clerk is off doing election duties. And Shirley's her deputy, and they're kind of busy tonight. But I do appreciate you all being here, and we'll all be in touch. But you all have to stay for the rest of the meeting. Is there a motion to go back to regular order?
Is there comments in the rest of the sections?
So moved.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. 10-minute recess. Be back here at 9:15.